Now, these men, I'm going to give you, not necessarily in order the way they live on East Street, but the people that live on East Street. Okay, and then we got Brown, and I don't remember his first name, but his daughter was Miss Ashley. But the Brown was Brown Milling Company. They ran the milling company downtown. The building is still down there. I tell you, Frank Hewitt, he bought the building, and his wife runs a ceramic shop in that building. Now, are you familiar with ceramics in Charlottesville, Miss? But anyway, she runs a ceramic shop in that. It's a tall building. You can see it across the Elmont Bridge, it's on to your right. So you probably, it's a tall old building. That was Brown Milling Company. Now that was Brown Milling Company, and he lived on Ridge Street, and that house has been recently purchased and renovated completely because it's an old house, and the young man lived down our street, he bought it recently, and he was really tired of being renovated. He can't change the outside because on these historic landmarks, they will not let you touch the outside. You can, you know, keep it up, but you can't change it. There's one right over here.
Yeah.
I'll let you see when you go in there. Just look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, it's Sue Brown. Now, Jay White Brown, I don't know what he did. He was a Brown. He lived on Ridge Street. Jay White Brown. And then it was Gleason, and this must have been the father of the Pope and Emmett Gleason. He lived on Ridge Street. And he relates to the lady that you see on City Council. What's her name? She's a Gleason, too.
That's
Gleason. That's Gleason, I hope. Yeah. No. That's Dr. Gleason's wife. But it's another Gleason. She had a husband that smoked a pipe, smelled so good.
She was on City Council.
Mm-hmm. I think she was on City Council one time. Because Beth Gleason, that's Charles' wife. That's Hope's son's wife.
Right.
I knew her very well. And then there's Nicholas. No, Mickey. This is Mickham, Ed Mickham's father. You know Ed Mickham,
yeah.
You know. And we had Ed Mickham Jr., I guess, and he lived on Ridge Street too. Now my niece and her husband lives in the Mickham home. It's a beautiful home inside and out. They bought the old Mickham home place. And that's why Eugene Williams is. You know him. You know him. Everybody knows him. Now the next one is Cobray. Now this is Mr. Cobray on the Victor Shoe Show. Him and his wife ran the Victor Shoe Show, and he did income tax for people. And he had a daughter named, they call her Miss Tilly. She married a miller. Well, Miss Tilly still won that Victor Shoe Show. Do you know where that is?
Yeah,
that
store, yeah.
Oh, you know the story. She's yeah. Been out for years.
She's the one who runs it.
She runs it now. She still runs it. But people just go in to speak to Miss Tilly because she's been so nice to the neighborhood. She used to sell my father and before with high black, high cut shoes for like policemen used to wear.
Yeah.
And he had a foot about a 14. The biggest black shoes you ever seen. I'm talking with your daddy. Okay. Now that was the Cobray thing. And I said, but Miss Tilly, okay. Wheeler. Now Wheeler's a real estate dealer. They're real estate dealers ever since I know Harry Wheeler and Roy Wheeler, but these are our people that lived on Real Street. And I think they've been in real estate ever since I can remember. Harry Wheeler, he died sometimes ago. He had a nice place down on Stony Point Road.
I don't remember Harry.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been dead, I guess, for 10 or 6 years, maybe more than that.
Well, how was he related to Roy?
I think they were brothers, if I'm not mistaken.
Ernest.
Ernest, maybe Ernest. Well, Harry may not have been there 10 years, but anyway, the Wheelers had lived in that house on Ridge Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Ferguson funeral home is.
Yeah.
And Ross Young, and I got him on the list as I know, when I knew he lived there, and I knew he was. I don't know what he did. He was kind of a vagabond type fella. He did a lot of drinking, you know, rowdy. So he's the only one on Ridge Street that you would say that about, because he was. But he just never did get himself together, like, seemed like. He was brought down, but he had a family there. That's the head. You come up that little ramp, house on your right hand side, as you get to the top of that little ramp. In the updike, he's next to that, but he almost drew the updike because he was a brick people. The updike was a brickyard man. You ever done an updike brickyard? No, you didn't know that. That's over what they call Sicefield. He used to make bricks over there for the brickyard, and he would kill things, dry the bricks and all that. That was in my time, since I remember.
When did that close down?
Oh, that closed down early in the late 30s, I guess, so they didn't make no bricks after that, I don't think. But they sold a lot of bricks right there. Now, get back to the one I told you, the football player, Roosevelt Brown. They bought a place way up on Ridge Street up there just before you get the litigation here. Now, that house, I should not listen. It's historic because he's not historic. And I don't remember who lived with the last one. I knew there was Roosevelt Brown. Thank you. Is this me? Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Dr. Pepper, I hope. No, it's Dr. Pepper. Oh, okay, that's all. Now, the next one was directly across from where Ferguson's funeral home was up on this street. We used to film with two Dutch girls. The two Dutch ladies, we used to stay on that porch, cleaning that porch, and they had the prettiest porch on the street. He used to have these little caps, and I don't know why they call them Dutch girls, but that's all I ever known. I don't know what they ever worked or what they did, but all I ever seen them do was they were cleaning that porch and keeping that porch
clean. The kind of hats
that... little Dutch hats, I guess. They said, I think they were...
The old Dutch country.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how they call them, little Dutch girls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't girls, they were ladies, you know. Okay, now the cooks, they were the last white family on the other side of the street.
On the west side of the street.
Now we're going to get to the black family. Now there was a fellow by the name of Payne, and he was a yard man. You know, did cutting grass and stuff. He was Jim Payne, not the Jim Payne on the barber shop, it was another. His name was James Payne.
Well, he was a nice old guy
that used to work for us. Well, that's probably where he cut grass, and he would trim hedges and stuff. Like, that's probably his name. He lived on Ridge Street.
He taught me how to do poultry.
He was
growing my yard.
Uh-huh.
And he would always ask if he would take some, and I'd say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're crossing these cats.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can never come.
I used to love those things without a crack, maybe, and I had to save my life. We call it poke salad.
Yeah.
My mother used to boil the stuff and then drain it off, and then she boiled it this morning, put it in a pan, break the egg in it, and scramble the egg into the poke salad. It was delicious. But I can't eat it now. I've tried. It's all around us here, just loads of it in the spring of the year. But I can't eat it to save my life, and nobody else here will eat it. He was a yard man. I was actually listening as a yard man.
And he was on, don't know his house number, do you?
No, I don't. I really don't. But he was on the on this side of Ridge Street, coming on the east side of Ridge Street.
Mm-hmm.
So it was second house after pass, third house after pass, the corner of Langford Avenue. There's an old house on the corner of Langford Avenue, and I don't know who owned it. I never did know. And further back up on Ridge Street was a lady owned the house up there, right at a dice and Fair Avenue, and I didn't know her name except her name, Miss Lottie. Everybody called her Miss Lottie. And she used to sit on the porch, and she would, anybody pass by, she'd come to the whiskey store. She'd get up kind of whiskey, she'd come back and sit on the porch and drink it. But anyway, Miss Lottie took care of her own business. Nobody didn't bother nobody, nobody bothered her. So I guess Miss Lottie did what she wanted to do, and that's probably what she was. Then we had the Carringtons, and these are black families on out of the million. Carringtons, Mitchells, and Currys. Now the Currys owned that big house there on the corner that they painted up there. Now the students doing some pain. You got a big sign that you might have noticed. Now that's a clear problem. Now that's been there for years and years. They raised their family, grandchildren, everything in that big house. The last one died recently, and her name was Miss Manley. She was a Miss Manley. And the rock wall that you'll notice as you go to here, when they cut this hill down, the hill you see like this, they cut it down so they left the wall kind of sitting on its reputation. Every once in a while the rocks will fall down. I ran over that as my transmission. I should have sued the city because they didn't have been leaving it up there like that.
I commented on that as we were coming down.
See that wall just hanging up there by it? It's on its reputation, that's all. And Mr. Caruzzi promised her that before she died, he was going to fix that wall for him. He hasn't touched it yet. I'm going to get him, though. I'm going to get him, and he will not transmit. But you know, that's half what's wrong with Charlottesville. You get people that don't know anything about the city, though. The unique quality, you know, the quality of the city of Charlottesville and the streets and homes and things like that. They don't know anything about it. Now, we got past there on the avenue that he ain't worth 5 cents. Now, that's the truth. He does not know anything about Charlottesville, but he pretends to know everything. And you find people like that. What I'm talking about, I shouldn't say that to you. You say, well, that's all right. Let us say that. That's all right. It's the truth. Okay. Then there's a fellow by the name of Moose. But Moose, he fell in the there. And right next to this little store was a fellow named Moose. He lived right there. He bought on the west side of this street.
Mm-hmm.
And Holmes was Robert Holmes. And he was related to the Currys that I just mentioned, you know, the Currys and so forth. And he was on the corner on the left-hand side. The Currys family lived on the right, and the Holmes lived on the left side as you go over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anna Lewis, she was a widow when I can remember. She was her nephew, somebody used to look after her when she passed. And there was a Curry, Isaac Curry. He was not related to the other Currys, but he lived on the west side. And Anna Bynum, she lived on the east side of this street. Thomas Lynn was on the east side. James Henley, he worked for Frank Dixon Company, and he was just a worker in the Eastfield Mill.
Are these people on Hartman's Mill Road?
Now, these are Ridge Street. Now, these are going further. This is the black one, the Ridge Street. Artie Ward, he was quite a man here. He raised hogs, and he just put a doctor going for animals. He didn't need to take a pet or dogs to no doctor, but he had this thing they done to he take care of them for you. How did he get away with it, I don't know, but it was legal. He did it legally. Nobody questioned it. And there was Ellen Gordon. There was a preacher lived up there. Right across from where Ollie Gordon. And Molly Burden. You remember Mole Burden? Mole's mother. Everybody knew Mole because Mole was stupid. They said to walk this street, they want to put on one side street, one on the other. That was Mole. And biggest liar in town. Always coming with a whole lot of singing. He grew me his garden, he didn't grow me his garden, he didn't have no garden. He said that. Genius Walken, he was a guy who picked up trucks and hauled trash and stuff for people. Mary Carter, she did laundry work for a lady up on 10th Street years ago. They had a little kind of home laundry. And Poker Sellers, and she was Pocahontas Sellers, and they lived on the east side of Ridge Street. And Van Burks, he's the last one on the right, on the west side of Ridge Street, but he's the last black family. Now Harris Lawler, I skipped over him going, so I'll come back to him. Harris Lawler and Laura Hicks and the Woods, they were all on the west side of Ridge Street. That's it, as far as the people that lived on the street.
Was Ridge Street
paved at that time? Ridge Street was one of the nicest streets in Charlottesville. Ridge Street had compared any street you named in Charlottesville at that time. Straight, smooth, and wide. You know, most streets in Charlottesville now. Ridge Street was wide and well kept. And that was the president of our district. You know, you cross the bridge and hit his street, you're on your own almost. It was just a beautiful piece of that.
You don't know when they first paved it.
No, that was paved when I first came to South here.
Where the streets became off of Ridge Street.
Where they paved?
Yeah.
More or less, yeah. More than.
Most of
them. I tell you, the only street I know that was not paved was Hardin, and then Bridge Street wasn't paved. I want you to know Bridge Street was.
Yeah.
Bridge Street went right down the hill by the Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
But that one wasn't paved, and Hardin Miller wasn't paved. And the Stella Street for the now that goes off Ridge Street is still not paved properly. That's Boxville Street and the Netherlands Street that Mr. Harmon lives on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's very well paid. But he's, Mr. Harmon's a well-known man. He plays music for the churches, for weddings, and things like that. He plays all around the universe and everywhere. And good artist, plays all the beautiful artists. Now, he didn't live on this street, and I didn't mention because he's off this street. And I didn't mention, but he's been there. His father lived there, and also there was a photographer downtown that used to, where's the man who took my picture for you? The studio downtown. Not Harmon, what's the other one? You don't remember? But anyway, he had a studio downtown. He took beautiful pictures. One of the best photographers in town.
Well, one thing I wanted to find out about is, the White family lived on Ridge Street to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Roosevelt Brown's family was there.
Well, Roosevelt Brown was the first one that moved up into the White neighborhood mostly. And then Roosevelt had gotten enough big money, you know, and they could afford to buy it there, but otherwise nobody else could afford to buy it. And when Roosevelt got into football, then began to make the good money so he could buy what he wanted almost, you know.
Now, Putnam Hill Road is all black
neighborhood, right? No, it's been more integrated. Mm-hmm. The lower part has been more integrated because we have families down by the name of Bishop. Bishop here down there, and then several other, the Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the name of the studio, it's Harmon Studio downtown, that's mm-hmm. one. He lived there about. But then the Harmons, the Bishop, the Nelson, and it's still white families on Hardin Hill down there. What's my name? Is the other person? Well, fix that light. He's electrician for the county. You know him. He's not a Nelson. You know, fix the. He's electric heater here. He can't think of it right now, but anyway, he lives down there now. Mm-hmm.
How about the other streets coming off of Ridge Street?
Langford Avenue. Langford Avenue has never been really integrated. It's been black most of the time. It's because you got to lay down to First Street. And you lay down to First Street, there's a big house that in the spread at the end of Langford Avenue was white. And then coming back, First Street, this way is white. Going back toward the cemetery, you know, Oakwood Cemetery, was two white, and that was only white in that area. And so then there was no Chair Avenue. We were not on this side of town. But,
oh,
that way in, up in the, oh, in the 50s, yeah, that's right, But you see, then, there's those two white families that lived down there on First Street. And see, First Street went in, it didn't come into Hardin, it comes into Hardin Mill now, but it didn't then. See, they put those housing projects down there.
Yeah.
And, well, that's what they wanted, to take all our property. See, we own those 4 acres across the street, my son and I together, we're on those 4 acres across the street that's breaking except for the houses you see there. And they want to take that for housing, public housing. So we rejected that because the Nimmo family, which is white, here down below us, they had a big farm down in there just to join our property. And they had their own cemetery, their own private cemetery. So Mrs. Nelson, who her husband's a lawyer too, I believe, Penny Nelson, and his wife, and she was a Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a cemetery, their family cemetery, and so they founded the cemetery there. And we had a lawyer, and the lawyer, I tell you who worked with us, was Tucker, the rich, S.W. Tucker, the rich one, lawyer. Mm-hmm. And they blocked it on account of the Nimmo. They wouldn't buy the Nimmo cemetery. They didn't, so they just dropped it completely. But they'd gone through and bought up property. or the back part of the property. We wouldn't sell the back of our property. See, our property was about 660 feet. And so they wanted to leave us with 150 feet and take all the rest. But we wouldn't sign for it. But you know what they offered for? $1,800. That's all they offered for. And the reason why, because when I bought that excavator, I only paid $300 for it. 660 feet deep and 91 feet 4 inches wide. And the same thing as a house, you know. When I paid $1,000 for the house and $300 for the lot, we made him pay $1,300 for the total property that I have on there. Let's see what they say to him. You didn't pay anything for it, we're not going to give him anything for it.
You had about
2 acres. Yeah, at least 2 acres. We got more because my son bought the back part of the other property that they bought. He bought it because of landlocked.
Well, that was the truth came up in the 1970s.
That's right, exactly.
A lot of construction in the east.
Oh, a whole lot. Remember, you know who was representing the city was John Ballard Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember John Ballard Sr. when he was governor? You know when he was governor. Okay, well, his son was representing the city. And Dave Wood, I think, was representing the city to a certain extent. And we had Perkins, Lawyer Perkins. He still is.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay, well, he was a nice guy. And also yesterday, Tucker of Richmond, he represented that.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, we won the case against the city for that. And
the city wanted to condemn their property.
Well, on the eminent domain. Okay. The eminent domain was to give you
but
nothing.
They weren't going to take the Nimrod's property, is that?
No, they couldn't take that because they had the cemetery there. They didn't want to take it on the kind of cemetery.
They didn't want to take yours.
And take it out, but not there. That's the way, there's nothing. I want to give it to him. But fortunately, we were lucky enough not to have to do it. Now, what we did, just to show you the difference, we offered that property over there to Dr. Pitt. So Dr. Pitt, let's have the property for $99,000 plus a percentage of the rent that you get from the building that you put up for a certain number of years. He said, I said, give you $99,000, I won't give you no percentage. So I said, we're not going to sell it to you.
Tell me what's going to happen to that land.
It's still, what's going to happen to it?
Yeah.
I turned over to my two daughters and my son.
Uh-huh.
We don't own anything. Wife and I don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
We give that to the two daughters and the son, and over here we give this father to my daughter that lives with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hers. And
but there's nothing built on it
there. On this property?
Oh,
nothing but the home place where we was, where the children were raised. So you know the house direct across from here.
That's your shop.
That's my shop, huh?
But you got a lot of other land over
there. Oh, it's land all around that place. You do decide how much land is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's close to 3 acres of land in there, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway,
so that's it. Do you have any questions you want me to get into that?
Now. You can walk Main Street now to feel safe. That's the truth.
Well, just wanted me to ask you about the sidewalks. Are the sidewalks along Ridge Street that you first remembered?
The bulk of Ridge Street had sidewalks. Now, when you got it to the black area, there's still no sidewalks, I don't believe. I don't think that's what was in now, even now.
Were there trees lining the street?
Different trees, huh?
You know how they are on Park Street?
Yeah, very much like Park Street. Yeah, definitely. Was
it like that on this street?
Mostly, huh? You see, you had, now where the Browns live, but there was a great, huge, giant oak tree, and a beautiful tree. That thing blew down and just missed the house, but a lot of trees like that, they cut down a lot of trees and cut them back, you know, with the telephone, you know, the left telephone today. Electric company cut them back way back.
Uh-huh.
So they ruined a lot of trees like that. Uh-huh. But anyway,
really
they're doing that on Park Street now too, I believe. Right? They were objecting to it.
We had all kinds of fights.
Yeah.
One
mm-hmm.
house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me, did you see, say, in the late 30s, early 40s, horse-drawn vehicles?
Yes, indeed. When we moved here, somebody named John Robinson had a team of mules.
Mm-hmm.
He was around plow people's garden with him.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't hear very well, and he lived in the house there across the way back to his landmark. After Miss Dolly, the white lady lived there, after she moved out, she died, and he moved in the house after she moved out. Mr. Anderson come from the Minow family. But anyway, he had a team of mules, and also Artie Ward, he'd have a one-horse wagon. He'd go around and pick up garbage at all three in the university to feed hogs, you know. You ever know anything about that? The people would save garbage in the garbage can, and he'd go around and empty the garbage can twice a week and feed it to his hogs. And you'd be the very same kind of hogs you ever seen, I believe.
I understand that causes them to be tricked out.
Yeah, no, but you see, they quit that, and they won't undo it now. They have to cook it. If you don't use garbage, they have to cook it. And so don't know how to raise hogs in the well. When I first came to Salvador, I used to raise hogs over there. That's one of the prettiest hogs you ever seen. I took them down to the livestock market on the back of a truck, sell them. And you know they had
to... How many could you raise over there?
As many as I wanted, as many as I could. And one guy over there had a real tamarisk hog, had a whole field full of hogs over there. They didn't bother you. But then they got to the point that you couldn't keep hogs in the city then. You can't even raise chickens in the city anymore. We used to have Golden Bantams. Little Bantam chickens. They get in the cedar tree over there, and every morning we had up just for a chicken Bantam chicken. So we didn't do it. We didn't eat them. We would eat the eggs, but we wouldn't eat the chickens. And so they just multiplied. Everyone wanted Bantam. He'd go and steal them there. So they'd come in with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 chickens sometime. And they grow up. And they grow up in those in the cedar tree. And in the morning, when they hit the ground fighting. What a game, Bantam game. They were crowing and fighting. But I used to enjoy having a play idea.
So to keep up those chickens down.
I kept them in. After a while, they say you can't raise chickens.
Did you keep a milk cow?
No, but my wife's father had a milk cow right next door. He always had a cow and always had hogs next door.
And did any of the people down here have horses on their property?
The man born the man next to James Henry, who I play with, he's raised horses and he had those tone ponies too. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law had one of those sympathy ponies, you know, the big ponies. And, but James Henry used to have these little settling-like ponies all this. They weren't settling. Settling pony had a long tail, but he didn't have a long tail. But he used to have a little pony cart, he'd let the children ride up and down the street with little pony carts, you know. But it was a lot of fun.
And now, tell me this. In Petersburg, I remember in the summertime, especially on Saturday, people would come in with a horse and a wagon full of vegetables, sell them on the street. And they'd go around and pile of watermelons, fresh tomatoes, strawberries.
Now, I can bring up the date on that lady in Charlottesville because you all heard of the trading ground. You know where they built a parking garage downtown on Water Street?
Yeah.
Now the trading ground was there. The farmers used to bring, in the early days, before so many trucks and things, they brought their produce in town in wagons. And they brought animals to trade horses and all that kind of stuff. And vegetables like green beans, tomatoes, corn, watermelon, all that stuff, bring them, stand right down the street on the trading ground and sell people come in and buy this stuff just like you go to the farmer's market. Now they go to Port Colorado Farmers Market. But all that produce is traded right there. And once a month, on the first Monday in the month, they have what they call Coat Day. And that was the day that the farmers would come in town to trade horses, cattle, goats, sheep, whatever they had they want to trade or what they want to sell. Now my father and his uncle, they used to be great horse traders. They said my uncle Tucker Key, he used to buy these old poor horses, you know, and he'd give them baking soda. And make them blow up, you know, to look like a sap. Take his hose. 2 days later, he had a skinny old horse. Oh, Rick. But there was all kind of tricks in that kind of stuff, though, you know. And then you look at a horse teeth and tell how old he was. My father opened the tricks and he said, how old is the horse? He said, and I said, well, he's 4 years old. So he up looking at his teeth. He's more than 4 years old. He was 10 years old. He could tell by looking at his teeth. There's so many cups they had in the teeth as you would tell. There is another.
So that trading took place where the new parking garage.
Where the parking garage in there, what was called on Water Street, they called it the Coat Ground, they called it. And even back before then, there's a lady that's living in Charlottesville right now that her mother was sold off the block right down there on Water Street, sold to somebody. Yeah, I'm sorry, somewhere anyway. His name is Ms. McGinnis.
Yeah.
What's Ms. McGinnis' name? Rebecca McGinnis. You see her, she was in the paper not too long ago. One of the oldest black women in Charlotte, I believe. And anyway, her mother was sold off the block, you know, they put them on the block and she walked around looking. She looked like a pretty good old. Well, that's the same way you look at a horse. You look at a horse, look like a pretty good horse. He was sold as all right, he gets sold as soon as I buy him.
That was right off of Water Street.
Mm-hmm. There was a big wide open space there. Well, I'll tell you what else was there. Was it, you know when the freight depot used to be there?
Yeah.
When the railroad come out of the road and travel, well, and all that was there combined in one. The freight department and the trading ground was all in one location. They had a town where you could water your drive for it to ride your horse up and there, drink water, just running fountain. Mm-hmm. Everything was in pretty good order now. And those people from down Buck Island, you ever heard of Buck Island? Well, anyway,
they're
going down that way. They drive the horses up here with loads of watermelon and all the produce. They drive a horse wagon that started 4 days in the morning, get up here about 9 or 10 o'clock, and then go back and get home by dark.
Did they sell right from Ridge Street or Park Street?
No, they sell right from the trading ground. Actually, if they drove right into the area, they would sell right from the wagon.
They wouldn't drive too
major ways. Not as much then, because it was...